time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Yordan smokes one to center field. All the way back goes Gordon near the wall, and he'll leap up. It's gone. Home run. Straight away center field. The big man, Yordan Alvarez, connects on home run number 9.
Yordan Alvarez with 2 homers yesterday as the Astros had that doubleheader due to inclement weather. It was a storm in Minneapolis, but you could say that the Astros were the storm for the Twins. I'm Vanessa Richardson with the news.
My God. What do I do now? What would I do if I were the co-anchor with you?
Vanessa.
Yes, they did, certainly. And more storms coming this weekend in Houston. The Astros may storm the Nationals, but we also have a fair amount of storms on the north side, so be aware of that.
Tell us about the weather.
Not a real weather forecast, by the way. Don't at me. But yeah, Astros winning both games of that doubleheader yesterday dominant fashion.
It's murder.
21-3 score combined.
That's right.
Through 3 of those games, held them scoreless in 2. That was fun.
That's right, Carlos Correa. You made the wrong choice. Although maybe you didn't have the actual final choice. It did seem like the Astros were just like, okay, bye. Yeah, they're on a bleeping roll. It's great. I missed this. I really missed this. Those 2 years being with another baseball team, being with another lady.
He missed the wife.
Oh, I did. And the wife has welcomed me back with open arms. It's like pancakes and bacon for breakfast every single morning. And not just any pancakes, Vanessa. We're talking blueberry pancakes.
Mm, is that your fave?
Oh, God. Give me some blueberry pancakes. Or waffles. You know, whatever. Hell, she's even busting out some Scrapple for me, which is an underrated food that not a lot of people. It's like basically it's like Pennsylvania breakfast food. It's essentially a bunch of.
Have you heard of this, Sean?
It's like sausage mixed with cornmeal. It's really good.
What's it called?
Scrapple. It's fantastic.
That's a board game, right?
Yeah.
No,
well, it is
Scrapple.
Oh,
this is Scrapple.
Well, Paul is happy to be back with his wife and her winning ways. They always come back.
It's just so easy.
Ladies, just remember, they always come back.
Well, yeah. You think you could go out in the world and make it on your own. You feel like you're going to go to the bars and it's all going to be like it was 3-4 years before. But it turns out, no. You've lost your fastball. Now you're awkward in making people leave the bar itself when you approach them. So you got to go back.
It's like Bill Gates said on an interview with the Today Show that he would marry Melinda all over again.
Oh.
He took one look in the streets after his divorce and was like, no.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have been on some of the airplanes he was on.
Yeah, with some of the people he was on.
Maybe you should have.
Okay.
We're rolling.
Mr. Weinstein.
So good at choosing a wife.
Yeah, thank you. Hello. But the Astros are rolling. It's refreshing to see this after the first month was questionable. The bats weren't getting going. There was... they were really relying on that pitching, but they looked great against Minneapolis. I would have loved to have seen Carlos Correa play. Truly would have loved to see that, you know, reunited. I don't think it would have made that big of a difference for the Twins.
I mean,
maybe Carlos's goal this season is not to make a huge difference. It's to get paid. Everybody has a different priority, but I don't think it would have made that big of a difference.
And if you have the kind of pitching that the Astros are throwing up against the rest of the lineup, you're 100% right. And once again, it's Luis Garcia, who I've really been impressed by this year.
Yeah.
Who had 9 strikeouts for the 2nd straight game. This was only in 5 innings. And yeah, he did allow some hits. And you got to give him credit for getting out of those jams. But yeah, I don't know what Carlos Correa single-handedly is supposed to do. And this Twins team was off to a pretty good start. And this is now back-to-back teams that the Mariners have stopped in their tracks. A good start. Seattle was doing the same thing. And I really just continue to be impressed. You do need to give them their flowers when they deserve it. And again, I feel like we have to hold them to a high standard. If they're not scoring runs, we should bring that up. But how about the first game yesterday? Every single player in the lineup had a hit, 15 hits total. They were 7-for-13 with runners in scoring position. You got a home run for Altuve. You got a home run from Kyle Tucker. And then afterwards, too, you look at the next game, Jordan Alvarez, who you heard coming into the segment, he now is tied for the major league lead in home runs with 10.
Wow.
He has two. Jeremy Pena, 3-for-3 in the two spot. I mean, yesterday, in totality, it's great. And then you take a look back at this 10-game winning streak that they've been on, Vanessa, which they've only allowed 11 runs over that stretch. That hasn't happened since 1974. So we're talking about something that hasn't happened in nearly 50 years, a team ERA of 0.9 along the way, and 5 shutouts. It's really impressive what they're doing, and you hope that they can continue it. That's really all he could say. I mean, right now, it's me, the tough grader, A's across.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You came around. And you know what? People said you were being a little bit too dramatic, but you stuck with it.
Just hard on them. Look, when I was growing up, if I got an A-, my mom and my dad would be like, yo, that's not an A.
Oh, God. My parents were thrilled if I could pull that off.
Well, when you're
public school, hey-o.
If you're in the same household as someone who eventually goes to Harvard, I mean, you're just screwed to begin with. So Sarah, who like was reading at a third grade level in kindergarten, they just had her sit off to the side because she was so much more advanced than everybody.
We both have really smart older sisters.
Yeah.
My sister is valedictorian.
It's terrible. It's just like a curse. I'm so, yeah, you get an A-. Well, Sarah got an A. Cool. I'm cool. Let me be cool. I don't want to be a nerd and get an A. I want to be like slightly cool and have an A- instead.
What is there anything that has surprised you about this Astros team? I think other than the obvious Jeremy Pena being as good as he is. I mean, that's the biggest shocker.
I don't miss McCullers at all right now.
Really?
No. Now, that could change, obviously, but Lance McCullers, his absence hasn't been missed at all. And I mean, that's fantastic because he's going to come back and it gives you a lot more flexibility at the trade deadline. Now, I don't know that you're going to be able to trade someone along the lines of, Lance McCullers or something at the All-Star break. I don't think you would either. But now all of these guys that you have, Jake Odorizzi is obviously the most likely candidate to be traded. But say there is something that is nice and shiny and bright that you would potentially want to bring aboard, who's on a reasonable contract that you'd have team control over the next couple of years, be that a bat or an arm of some sort. You are getting such contributions from your starting pitching that now you have a little bit of extra capital to play with. That's the benefit of having all of the pitchers that have been pitching so well for the Astros of late.
There have been great. It's been great pitching. Justin Verlander, of course, has been bringing it despite being 39 years old. Lance McCullers Jr. Unless I've missed it, and tell me if I have, no real update on Lance McCullers Jr. Can our Lance McCullers Jr. lookalike confirm? AKA our producer Sean Mapes.
No, I'm doing some throwing now, throwing back-to-back days a couple weeks ago, but nothing to update.
It's good that you're not blaming the lockout for this anymore.
Yeah.
Didn't get to work with the team doctors. I mean,
never forget.
That does help your
rehab.
And
he told Manva, he told it to a kid.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, unfortunately, just the way of the world with the selfish billionaires.
I like Lance. I mean, look.
Lance McCullers.
He's the team rep, so I get it.
I told Lance McCullers Jr. that he should be a broadcaster.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
He's so good.
When I was over at the Texas flagship, we would have him on for an hour every single week, and he was just great whenever he was hanging out with us. It was awesome.
Speaking of blaming, Brian Cashman opening his mouth once again.
I thought we were done with
yesterday.
This. Don't you want to move on? Don't you want to move on from it? And I guess this was bound to happen given that Jim Crane was basically like, if anyone talks about us, you better shut up because you don't know what you're talking about.
See, I like Spicy Jim.
But he didn't say it like a wrestling heel like I did. I wish he did.
I like Spicy Jim. But Brian Cashman did respond. It was before a game against the White Sox yesterday. Quote Brian Cashman. This is about Jim Crane's comments. I don't think anybody's
do we have the audio?
I'm sorry. I did not think that there was audio from this because it's from New Jersey Journal. So let's hear it.
Here's Brian Cashman.
They're trying to equate it with what the Astros did.
Well, I don't think anybody equates it to what the Astros did except for Houston.
Okay.
So the feedback from everybody in the industry, including Major League Baseball, obviously going back,
was that your concern? That because the contracts had changed that it would be seen?
I'm not in control of any of that. So at the end of the day, so as I said, no one's buying the tune he's singing, so no one's going to dance to that tune. And the reason I kind of equated it to a parking ticket to a felony, trying to equate the parking ticket to a felony, as you recall, they lost multiple years of draft picks, first round draft picks. They were fined millions of dollars and decided to fire their manager and general manager because of their actions. There's no equivalent to any of it. So that's why I said it's a deflection. No one's buying it. No one's singing to that dance tune. It is what it is. So, I applaud him for trying. So.
Yeah, I applaud him for trying that little pat on the head of, oh, I mean, is there, could this guy be more of a snake? I mean, could this guy be more New York, more obnoxious, more hypocritical? Here's the thing. I don't care if you're an Astros fan. If you're not, it's irrelevant. I like the Astros, didn't grow up an Astros fan. Everybody knows that other people were cheating. You could argue the Astros did it better. You could argue they used technology more. You could argue they incorporated a trash can, whatever you'd like to say. But this guy, this is one thing and one thing only. He feels like he has not won enough. He knows he's probably on the hot seat. And so he deflects. He needs to go to therapy because this is what people do. And this is what manipulative men do when they're confronted about something that they have done wrong.
Ladies, turn into anti-men.
Be on the lookout, right? It turns into, wow, but I mean, it's a I did it too. I cheated on you too, but it's a felony versus a parking ticket.
Part.
I mean, it was all the way in for you. And for me, it was just a quickie in the back bathroom of a club. I mean, it's... Brian Cashman continues to just, I think, dig himself in a bigger hole. And it's why you're not, the most important thing to remember is that other people are not supporting Brian Cashman. You don't have players that are like, yeah, you know what, Brian Cashman's right. Everybody's leaving it alone because I think they think he's a doofus.
He pointed at the penalties that the Astros got. The only team that was seriously investigated after the 2017 memo was pointed out, as if that is proof that what the Astros did is worse than what the Yankees did. Well, look. What happened in that letter with the Yankees, okay, maybe you can decide and make that comparison between a felony and a parking ticket, but do we know that the Yankees did nothing after 2017? The answer is no. Baseball only investigated the Astros. Now, I just think it stands to reason that if a memo was sent out and that's it, and there were penalties handed out to the Yankees and the Astros, the Yankees and the Red Sox, does that mean that all of baseball is going to stop? Does that mean the Yankees are going to stop? I honestly can't answer that question. I just know that we have seen some of the people that were involved with that Yankees organization, Carlos Beltran, come over to the Houston Astros. And I don't know, like it just stopped. I don't believe in that idea. And the parking ticket to felony comparison, that is also extreme. I mean, by letter of the law, you cheated, and I think it's a little bit closer. What the Astros did is definitely more egregious. There's no doubt about that.
Nobody's denying that.
But felony to parking ticket, like a parking ticket, parking tickets are stupid by default. You know, no parking ticket is right. It's always handed out by just absolute, vultures who are part of our government.
The Paul Blart type deal.
Yeah.
Right. And somebody pointed out on the Twitch that the Yankees are doing well right now. They are, but the standard, the reason I say hot seat, which may be a little bit of a... Right. And because the standard for the Yankees is more than just, it should be more than just doing well in the postseason. So I do think he knows that he's going to be, he could be in hot water. So he's projecting.
This year isn't saving his job unless he wins the World Series. It's been a long time. And,
right.
And if you're a Yankee fan, you're even sick and tired of this guy talking.
Go ahead.
And I would just say again, like using the penalties as a shield, the difference in the penalties is just disingenuous because you're talking about being punished for something that finally became made public. And then you're describing the things that the Astros did as horrific when they weren't that far off from what you did. Were signs being stolen? Yes. Were you using advanced technology to steal signs, including television broadcasts? Yes. The only difference is that there was no trash can.
Is that significant enough to be
the difference between a parking ticket and a felony? I don't think that's accurate.
He's projecting. Speaking of failure, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about James Harden. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
PG, can I take you back in time a little bit?
Sure.
Since we're playing a throwback song.
And I just like hearing this part about same as it ever was, because that's James Harden in round two of the playoffs.
There you
go.
Same
as it ever
was. Boom, roasted. Let me take you back in time to March.
Okay.
Daryl Morey spoke at an MIT analytics conference, and he wore a shirt with James Harden name on it, face on it. And he had said one of his quotes that he said when people asked him, are you excited, was, yes, I'm reunited with my basketball Jesus. His basketball Jesus finished with 11 points.
Imagine that's your God.
9 assists and 4 turnovers as the Miami Heat took the series with the 76ers.
Who is the most lame of all the Greek gods?
I don't know nearly about as much about. Is Oedipus a Greek god?
No.
No, he was a Greek tragedy.
Tragedy.
Sorry.
Listen.
Maybe Nike. I mean, Nike really.
Like the brand?
No, it was a Greek god before.
Hephaestus was kind of
really
a legend.
Saved him.
You know, but you know, Poseidon's god of the sea. Everyone makes fun of Aquaman. No, it's got to be Hades, because I mean he's like this goth dude. He lives in the underworld. So yeah,
I'm just gonna let these two go at it.
Yeah, that's your Jesus, Daryl Morey. Hades.
I did look up lame Greek god. Hepatitis.
Ooh, Hepatitis. Nice. Good job. He's bottom of the power ranking.
Isn't Zeus really like great?
Let's get back to James Harden. Sorry,
You're the one that started it.
I know. I've admitted it.
Daryl Morey said that was his basketball Jesus, and James Harden, basketball Jesus, Game 6, the most critical of the season, does nothing. 4 turnovers,
crucified
minus
himself.
11 points.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, he just existed, and I think that we are seeing and getting to laugh at something that we experienced for a long period of time. It's something that we laugh at because of the way Harden left. I know that had Harden left in a different way, I think there would still be some deference for him here in Houston. But he left like a total jackass. Period.
Situations can't fix it. It's beyond repair.
Like, he forced his way out of town by getting fat. Like,
oh.
I mean.
True.
He did.
True.
I feel pretty comfortable taking my shirt off. James, do you? And
we know. We see the cleavage today.
I would keep going on this to just look at how tone deaf this guy is in his post game press conference. And this is maybe the greatest like series of post game quotes that I think I've ever seen in a basketball game. But it started with James Harden, who was asked why in the end of this game, in the second half of this game, why he only had 2 shots. 2 in the second half. Here was his answer.
We ran our offense. The ball, you know, I feel like the ball moved and, you know, it just didn't get back to me.
Why weren't you more aggressive?
Like I just said, we ran our offense. The ball, you know, just didn't get back to me.
Defers, he always does.
He has no answer.
Because he likes to put the blame on other people. Like we will see when Doc Rivers is eventually fired. Always the blame goes somewhere else. It has always been that way with James Harden. It started with Kevin McHale, Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook even. I mean, Russell Westbrook was blamed. A guy he brought in.
A guy that he specifically handpicked, brought in. Houston made every accommodation to him. The thing that shocked me about this post-game press conference, I didn't think there was anything that could shock me with James Harden. But James Harden, and I do not like to body shame, but
I do.
He's had some ups and downs with his body weight. He's
mostly
thick,
ups.
Thick, as the kids say. I think it's THICC. I believe it replaced fat.
The only
with
thing
a pH.
Downs are is that belly.
And
is
James
that gut
Harden, according to him, is going to have a hot girl summer and get his body right.
Oh my God, this part was even worse.
Honestly, it's been a long 2 years for me. I'm finally starting to, you know, kind of feel okay again. So it'll be a great summer for me to kind of get, you know, to get my body right and be ready to go for next year. These last 2 years have been a whirlwind, though.
What's your level of optimism, you know, with you having an entire summer to kind of get right? And with
I'm excited, man. I've been trying to get right throughout the course of a basketball season, you know what I mean, for 2 years straight. And it's like, that's not it. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, all last summer I was rehabbing and it was a little frustrating, you know what I mean? Because I'm not used to going through something like that. But it is what it is, and you know, I'm just happy to be healthy now. I got a full summer to be straight and to do the things necessary to come back even better next year.
He had all of the opportunity in the world to get his body right. He has the top nutritionists, the top trainers. He just doesn't want to because he's lazy.
I'm really mad at that Philadelphia reporter because Philadelphia prides itself as a tough sports town. And that was just like, hey, like, so the summer's going to be great, right? Yeah.
He was angling to write that piece in the training camp.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What he was doing.
James Harden has changed his body. And it'll be like, oh, wait, he came into the season in shape? The idea that you, Vanessa, would come out and say, yeah, the last 2 years have been a whirlwind for me. Wait, in the middle of a pandemic, you quit your job twice to get your way while other people are getting fired during the pandemic and are dying during a pandemic, and it's a hard last couple of years for you. Why? Because you were annoyed that Kyrie Irving wasn't suiting up on the court? You're an ex-MVP. You should be able to shoulder the load perfectly fine while Kyrie Irving isn't there. And here he is in Philadelphia. Unbelievable that this guy has the stones to say, yeah, you know, like it's just been a tough last 2 years. Your job is literally to be in shape. Your job is to last for a full season. You have been to so many playoffs in a row, and you always run out of gas in the second round of the playoffs. It is always the second round.
Very consistent.
I have said this all the time, and all these stupid basketball nerds on Rockets Twitter who act as if this guy was our golden god for a period of time. You guys are such morons. How did you think that this guy was ever going to change? But you always did, and you always got mad at me for it. And you know what? Yeah, I'm petty, and I'm going scorched earth on this one right now. It is unbelievable that this guy has the balls to come out afterwards and act like, yeah, the last 2 years have been hard for me. You have one job. It's to be in shape.
He's also gotten everything he wanted during those years. They have brought in, wherever he's been accommodated. They've brought in the players that he wants to bring in. When it's the media does ask questions about where's James, is James this, people stand up for him. He's gotten everything that he wants.
Seriously.
He's not delivering.
Nope, not at all. And you know what? Far be it from me to continue to do what I've been doing for the last 10 years. I was right about James Harden all along. No big deal. Let's move on to what his own teammate Joel Embiid thinks about him. Because this was my favorite moment of last night.
I agree, and I will preface this by saying the thing that's impressed me the most about Joel Embiid is that he has been honest this entire postseason. This is the latest Joel Embiid quote on Harden.
I don't know. I think he's been, obviously, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, there are times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive.
That was so Midwest nice. You know, he could have been, as all of us could have been, more aggressive. I liked Embiid before the season, don't get me wrong, but I think that his honesty, and you know what? He's really just stating facts. He's saying people thought they were going to get Houston James Harden, who was occasionally dropping 60 points. That guy's gone. And from the effort standpoint, it doesn't even seem like he cares to be here anymore.
But he has always been advertised as being that same guy.
Yes.
And he's not that same guy anymore. And okay, like, the Sixers realize it. Does Daryl Morey? And what is Daryl going to do this offseason? Because James Harden basically took all of the thought out of the possibilities that could happen this offseason. Harden said, yeah, well, I'm coming back. But, well, do you think Joel Embiid wants him back? Because Joel Embiid runs Philadelphia now. It's not Daryl Morey. You know,
it's a great point.
And when Daryl was here in Houston, Harden ran Houston, you know? And Morey was able to do some things at the top, but it was always, how do I accommodate Harden? Well, how is this going to work out if the logical conclusion to a Mike D'Antoni era, to a Doc Rivers era, is to bring Mike D'Antoni back in as the head coach and to have the exact same thing that was going on before? How is Joel Embiid going to feel about it, where all of a sudden things are being tailored for a guy that he believes is no longer a superstar, in which he would be accurate in saying?
A philosopher named Irvin Magic Johnson tweeted, James Harden in a closeout game, you can't have a performance like that. Take two shots and score no points in the second half. Great stuff by Magic.
He always tweets out the most obvious thing ever, and he does it in a smiley way.
It's an awesome Twitter account.
So when he actually, this is the equivalent of him like just dropping a big old fart on
your
on
scorched
someone.
Earth rant.
Yeah,
that's the equivalent.
That's Magic Johnson because he's a nice guy.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we have thoughts on the NFL schedule, but first, Pauly G is going to tell you about Passive Investor Network.
Yes, my friends at PIN, passiveinvestor.net. Look, guys, investing is something that we all want to do more of. So why not do it in real estate, right? I mean, housing prices, they just continue to go up and up and up. And that's what my friends at Passive Investor Network can help you do. Here's what they do. They're going to sit down with you and tailor a personalized 5-year plan for you. And they'll tell you how this thing works. And then they're going to take it all out of your hands. And look, you could be involved if you want. Maybe you want to be a real estate investment expert someday. Maybe you want to be one of those people on those shows on those television networks that you see flipping houses or something like that. But I'll be honest, I'm an idiot. I don't want to be that guy ever. I want it all out of my hands, and I trust the Passive Investor Network to help me on that front, and you should too. And guess what? May 21st, they're doing a bus tour. You want to go on it because they will show you the stages of their real estate investing process and how they will turn homes that you invest in from one place to another. You see what happens after 1 year, after 3 years, after 5 years. PassiveInvestor.net. The promo code is ESPN for the bus tour on May 21st. It is PassiveInvestor.net, PassiveInvestor.net.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
After weeks, nay, months and months of buildup, the NFL schedule was finally released. Paul was very happy.
I was just waiting with bated breath to find out that the Texans were going to play all 17 of the teams that they were scheduled to play this year.
And we already knew where.
Yep.
I do think
the order.
I get excited about the NFL schedule release because I plan some road trips. I get excited.
And they should announce it earlier. That's my issue, too. The gas prices continue to go up.
Thanks, Dad. But there were a couple of surprises, a couple of things that stood out to both of us. Who would open, who would close out, the way that they did divisional, that extra, of course, 17th game with the divisional round. What are some things that stood out to you about the schedule release, not just with the Texans, but in general, Paul?
So 13 teams had 5 primetime games. Bills, Bengals, Broncos, Bucks, Chargers, Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles, Packers, Patriots, Steelers, Rams, 49ers. For the most part, all of those make sense.
Yeah.
Chargers are and Bengals are new because they have the quarterbacks. But there's a team missing from that I thought for sure would be a part of it, given that they made the biggest trade of this offseason. The Cleveland Browns only have 2 primetime games.
That's a good point.
They are both in the first half of the season. So my tinfoil hat is on. Maybe,
you know, I love that.
Maybe Watson is facing a longer suspension than we thought. Maybe Maybe Watson is facing a longer suspension than we thought. Maybe this is something that will be more than the 6 to 8 games. I remember we talked with Keyshawn Johnson earlier this week on the ESPN 97.5 Facebook page, and that's what he thinks it's going to be, something like 6 to 8 games. Well, I don't know. If these guys know what's going to happen, they have to. They don't want to schedule a primetime game where there's some schmuck under center for the Cleveland Browns. They don't want that. Jacoby Brissett, no. They don't want him in primetime action. So I'm wondering if this means maybe there is a possibility that Watson is suspended the whole year. Is that possible? I mean, the NFL loves to throw curveballs at us when it comes to suspension. So just something I'm wondering, not some sort of insightful knowledge I have. I'm just speculating.
That supports your point. Actually, I was watching, I told you guys this before the show on Good Morning Football. They had the two people that make the schedule on, and it was more interesting than I thought it would be. They talked about having to schedule around like Elton John and Bad Bunny concerts and, you know, at all these stadiums and all of these elements and layers that I didn't think of. And one of the things that they said was that it changes. They started over the summer, and it changes and it changes, and or in the spring rather, and it changes. Obviously, they said when Tom Brady unretired, they put another Bucks primetime game in there. So to your point, they can change this thing up until and so if that supports your point even more, because it means that, you know, you think this investigation with Lisa Friel and the NFL is going on and has been going on, you have to think maybe Roger Goodell did an almost off-the-record call to these schedule makers and said, look, he's out for this long, or he's out, you know, for this long. I totally believe that. I don't think that's crazy at all.
A couple of people are asking questions on the Twitch and on the text line, 713-780-3776. And someone said, are we sure that's going to happen this year, because the trials don't look like they're going to start until next April? And that is a fair question to ask, but I think that the primetime schedule is a pretty interesting clue here to do with what you might. And Quirtus on the Twitch said, well, I mean, what if he gets a Bauer suspension? And that's a fantastic point. I mean,
2 years, right? Two seasons,
right? And don't Vanessa public facing institutions and people love to posture. Baseball just cucked, if you will, the NFL in terms of taking domestic violence seriously. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about two totally different things here. We're talking about Trevor Bauer, who's alleged to have extremely rough sex with, and there might be other details that are escaping
and
me.
That's, well, it's, and, but, and we don't know all of it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But the, in a nutshell, at least that's what I have read about. And then on the other side, you have Watson, who is just a total creep at these massages. I don't know how you necessarily equate them, but the NFL always wants to look like the biggest you-know-what in the room. And I have a feeling there's a chance that that suspension of Trevor Bauer could affect the suspension for Deshaun Watson.
It's a really good point. And when that happened with Trevor Bauer, I did not think it would be 2 years. But MLB made sure to do a really good point of saying, we have information that we have not released. We know more that you all don't know. So I don't think that's too much of a tinfoil stretch at all. One of the things that stood out to me...
Schedule release,
some NFL schedule release talk. The Broncos have a really difficult final six games, and I'm excited. Now, you've talked about not 100% believing in Russell Wilson. To see how he handles this, here are the final six games. At Ravens, Chiefs, Cardinals, at Rams, at Chiefs, Chargers. Do you think the Broncos could have
a good
first couple of, you know, two-thirds of the season or whatever? Hashtag math is hard. And then do you – because I could see Russell Wilson crapping the bed the last six games.
That's tough. It's been happening for the last 3 years. Less so last year because he broke his finger. But he has not finished out season strong. What reason that is for that, I really couldn't tell you. He is not the best in – inclement weather, which is weird because Seattle is not exactly the easiest place to play because it's cold and rainy for a lot of the second half of the season. That sucks for him. You hate to see it. You hate to see a guy who forced his way out of town have a tough stretch towards the playoffs. Oh, boy.
That's one of the things that stood out to me as far as specific scheduling. Let's talk about games that you're actually really looking forward to.
Well, I'm looking forward to Broncos Seahawks in week one at Monday Night Football in Seattle because I want to know what they do. I know they'll cheer him, but there's a part of me that wants to go to the game and just lead a band of booing. Seriously, I want to go. I still feel some attachment to my people in Seattle, and that's one that we all bonded on. Because the last year, I just turned on Russell before everyone did, and maybe that's a flaw that I have, being the first to turn on people like I was with Harden. But yeah, that's a game I'm looking forward to. But how about the first game of week one? I was whining about how the Rams are going to be foisted upon us, even though they're the defending Super Bowl champions with that Thursday night game. But okay, if you're not going to give me Bills Chiefs, Bills Rams,
yep.
Hell bleeping yeah.
I'll take
that. That's a fantastic way to open up the year. Because usually, it always feels like, Vanessa, it's a team that's like a tier down from the defending Super Bowl champion that plays them in that first game. I mean, this is a damn good one. I mean, you have the consensus NFL favorite, I think, to win the Super Bowl next year coming into L.A. You're going to have a ton of Bills fans in Los Angeles, too.
Bills
That'll
Mafia.
Be funny.
They go hard. That will be really funny. I'm looking forward to week 15 Bengals Bucks just because we've seen the storyline young versus old, Burrow versus Brady. But since it's late in the season, I think by then we're going to be hearing the chatters about maybe Tom Brady's last couple of games. I don't know that he will have announced it, but I think that there will be some Schefter, Rapoport rumors and reports about this being the end. So I do think it could be looked at as a proverbial passing the stick.
Interesting that
torch,
etc. Yeah, the baton. There you go. Yeah, that works.
The cheese stick, whatever. Just anything. Passing.
Okay, pass the bread.
Yeah,
pass the mashed potatoes.
Tom Brady, pass it. But seriously, I mean, it's week 15. That's late in the season.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Joe Burrow. Then I'm just having a flashback to last year. I forget what week it was when the Bengals played the Chiefs. But it was towards the end of the year, and I mean, that was your AFC Championship preview, and the Bengals won that game, too, and you're like, no way they're going to do it twice in a row. But hell, hey, they did. That's another one. As far as the Texans, I don't want to, you know, go into, breaking down the entire schedule.
We'll do that later.
Where I used to work. Oh, no, damn it. I thought I was escaped. I thought I got out of the cult.
It may not be as obsessive, though.
One thing that I had, look, I could see them going 3-2 into the bye week. I think that's a nice way to open up the season. I don't expect them to be a contending team, but the Colts at the Broncos, at the Bears, Chargers, and Jaguars, I mean, they'll probably go 2-3, best case scenario, but I can see them going 3-2.
I love that they're opening with Indy, and you may say, oh, you're from Indiana. Texans fans should like this, too. The Colts have lost 8 straight season openers.
Really?
Yes. It's a very strange record. But it's
a little gambling
true.
Advice, Vanessa.
Yeah, thank you. Just like they haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014.
You know, I remember hearing that at the end of last
very
year.
Very strange.
And I almost bet on that game entirely because of that. And I used to get so mad when, you know, remember Hammer and Hank, who was on ESPN?
Yeah.
And he would like bring up some like random like statistic, like the Eagles are 1-9-1 when there's a battery thrown on the field and or something like that. And he would just give these really weird statistics to base his picks on. But, I mean, the Jaguars beating the Colts.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Those years in a row. It's so bizarre that I've thought about doing it.
I think it's a really good chance, and it sounds cliche, for the Texans to get off to a start where they say this is a new era.
Undefeated.
Deshaun Watson is out of the building. 1-0, baby, turn it up. No, but with all seriousness, I think it would help their confidence. I don't think we expect a playoff run. We've both predicted that the Colts win the division, but if they can get a win over the Colts, I think it says a lot about them, you know, starting the season off on the right note. And who knows, Frank Reich may be fired because Jim's Ursay's still being mad about the last game.
They started off the season nice last year.
They did. They beat the Jags.
They were beating the Browns. Tyrod Taylor got
hurt. Do you remember
when
Mark Ingram played here?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Throwback.
They just love the old running backs.
Coming up, it is Friday the 13th.
It's on Adrian Peterson.
I'm an Aries, and Mercury is in Gatorade, so I am taking this very seriously.
Mercury is in Gatorade?
Yes.
Gatorade is an astrology term?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it. Coming up on Vanessa and Galant. You don't want to miss it.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
That's one of the first songs that I had on my iPod. Misery
what?
Business by Paramore. I love that song.
Is this that song?
Yeah, Misery Business. Oh, I never meant to brag. You don't know this song?
You're always surprised.
No, but this is like in your era.
I know the guitar riff, but I don't know the actual song.
Yeah, because it plays on our show. Great, great jam. You know this song.
I heard it for the first time. Or maybe I've heard it before, but I actually like, that's the Paramore song, like a couple years ago.
I feel like
I
it might have been
it was until then.
Maybe it was in a Madden. I don't know.
Mm.
It is a very generic sounding song of that era or like that, like, genre. It's kind of copy paste.
This is the what was those festivals that they would have that were essentially for this genre entirely? Warped Tour.
People would wear the Vans.
Yeah, that is a Warped Tour special right there.
Am I more than you bargained for? Yeah.
Go down. Don't want to be you.
Have you seen any Black Cats today, fellas? Sean, Paul?
No.
It is Friday the 13th.
I know. And that's a bad thing, apparently.
Yeah.
But I've never understood why. So yesterday I actually looked this up.
Deep dive.
So there's a bunch of varying things that it could be. Now, if you take a look at Wikipedia, which is where I did the look, it might have to do with, you know, Jesus having 12 apostles or something like that.
Oh.
You know, there's also.
That's not 13.
I know, but if you add Jesus to the 12 or something like that, right. There were 13 individuals present in, I don't know, in the story of the Last Supper. I don't know. Like, it's weird. Some of it's very difficult. There's also a Norse myth about 12 gods having a dinner party, and Loki, who wasn't invited, arrived as the 13th guest. So there's that. Others have surmised that this was now a day of bad luck because the Knights Templar were all executed on this day back in the 1300s. So, like, there's a bunch of varying reasons for it. I've never bought into it, though, because I think, okay, well, at some point during the year, this is the law of averages, there will be a Friday the 13th. There's 7 days in the week. It's got to happen at
Superstition
some point.
Ain't the way. You know that song, right?
I do.
Good.
By Stevie Wonder.
Yes, Stevie Wonder.
Do you believe he's blind?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely
not.
There we
go. Let's go conspiracy theory Friday.
The mic stand.
Yeah.
He caught the mic stand on Oprah.
He catches the mic stand, and then Shaq and other people have said that he has TVs in his house that he watches. I think he's probably, I do think he is a little bit blind. Because blindness is a spectrum. It actually is. Like, you can be somebody that sees certain colors and certain shapes, and you still can't see fully.
Also, and Stevie, if you're listening, this is not a personal attack.
Well, you have to listen.
Stevie can't watch. She's not on Twitch. Yeah. Well, maybe he is because of what I'm about to say. If he's a blind man, why did he cheat on his wife?
Ooh.
He has like
he
nine.
Didn't know.
He has like nine.
And how
kids
do you cheat on your
by
wife?
By five different women.
Yeah.
So hey, he may not be able to see, but he can feel something.
Well, all the other sins are heightened, so he feels it more.
Mm-hmm. He's like Spider-Man.
Superstition ain't the way.
So it got me thinking, too, just about the superstitions that we have in sports. We touched on this earlier in the week. It's weird how baseball, compared to other sports, is way more superstitious. You're not supposed to walk on the foul line. You are not supposed to talk about a no-hitter or a perfect game while it's going on. There's a bunch of different ones. You don't want a dog to walk across the diamond before the first pitch. Some people believe it's bad luck to, it's good luck to step on one of the bases before running off the field at the end of an inning. You can't lend your bat to somebody else. Spitting in your hand is good
luck. It's America's pastime, baby.
There's a lot of weird stuff, and it got me thinking, what's your favorite sports superstition? I always enjoyed, growing up in Boston, Nomar Garciaparra's obsessive compulsive routine as he stepped into the batter's box, where he would take his gloves off and put them back on and adjust it and then do this little hop kick dance before he settled into the box. But now that I hate it when batters step out of the batter's box, this would drive me absolutely crazy now.
Do you believe? So you don't believe in superstitions?
No, I don't. I think we like to tell ourselves that this little thing that we do has a difference, and maybe makes us feel like we have some control in the grand chaos of this universe we live in. But ultimately, it's just a futile, pointless gesture.
I remember I used to... If something wasn't worth working, I would go to the bathroom. And then if the team that I wanted to win scored, I would just stay in the bathroom. So I used to be into it a little bit. As you get older. Other than that, I mean, I have irritable bowel disease, so I'm in the bathroom a lot. But I think, you know, it just depends on which team you're into and if those players are into superstitions. Baseball is a big one.
So this is when I was younger. And whenever the Patriots were playing anybody, because the Patriots always made out a big positive thing about like respecting who they were playing, I would never assume victory. And I would try to assume, even though I'd never believed it, that they were going to lose going into a game, because it made me feel like, well, if I think that they're going to lose going into the game, they're going to win, because they need that motivation, energy to be
like
cast upon them.
Psychology-ish?
It made no sense.
Like the NBA playoffs way back when the Rockets were in the playoffs all the time, I would never, like when they're up 3-1 or 3-2, I never go, well, it's going to be awesome playing whoever in the next round. But that's about it as far as like superstitions for me. I don't really have any.
Lucky shirts, lucky jerseys, any of you two? I will go with the trend of just continuing to wear a shirt on a Sunday.
That's superstitious.
Well, no, it's just a routine.
That's superstitious.
That's superstitious.
It's a routine. Wearing the same shirt every week.
Well, but once a week. Well, it's just once a week. You know,
so
you
don't
wear it during
it.
The game.
He doesn't wash it.
Yeah, no, this is like
that's
a textbook.
The definition.
This is probably on the superstition page.
Right.
Nah, you guys just don't get it. Like, you know, it's just a routine. You know, you like to wear the same thing over and over again. If you're only wearing it for 3 hours, it's not going to get dirty. It's not going to get sweaty. No.
I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious.
No, I was hoping that would...
You just don't get it. You know, it's different when I do it. As I dismiss all superstitions, I realize I'm like, this
but
is
here's some, different rules.
Here's some of the weirdest ones in sports. I'm not like other girls. I'm different. Here's some of the weirdest ones in sports, according to Business Insider. Jason Giambi and his teammates would wear gold thongs to bust out of slumps. Johnny Damon believed the thong works because, quote, you're not worrying about your hands or your balance at the plate. You're worried about the uncomfortable feeling. you're receiving.
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
That also sounds like something baseball players tell media just to like make them F off.
Maybe. Yeah, because they do seem to be generally crusty, uncomfortable types with stuff like that. But yeah, that's a weird superstition.
Did they all have their own pair, or was it one?
I
pair
would hope that everybody had their own.
They
pair.
They shared it. And they never washed them.
Les Miles, when he was at LSU, apparently would munch on a little bit of turf.
Yeah.
Before the game.
Well, that's normal.
Quote, I have a little tradition that humbles me as a man that lets me know that I'm part of the field and part of the game.
I mean, a lot of pregnant ladies eat dirt from time to time, and this is the same thing, you know?
Pregnant women eat dirt?
I base this off of the television show The Great on Hulu.
Yeah, no, that's like a disease.
Oh.
It's a pica, I think it's called.
Well, you know, you might get some earthworms and some protein out of that.
Apparently, Jason Terry would wear shorts from the opposing team the night before a game.
Okay.
Just as motivation, kind of what you talked about with
that'd be
motivation.
A pain in the ass to do though. You'd have to have a pair. You'd have to have 29 pairs of shorts, probably 30, given how many teams Jason Terry played for, and just wear it the night before. That's kind of
Serena Williams will not change her socks once during a tournament.
Gross.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's disgusting.
This is according to Business Insider, I kind of trust it.
We're judging her. That's disgusting.
Yeah, no, I believe it's true. I also believe it's disgusting.
It was swamp feet. Yeah, that's awful. I mean, my feet sweat like gallons. So I have to wear socks with everything, but I change my socks. Like, I'll change my socks twice a day sometimes. It's gross. That's where I sweat the most, my feet. The old skis.
We're getting a lot of comments about superstitions. People think... I do think that is a superstition, what you do with your shirt, though.
It definitely is.
I do.
It definitely is.
I do think it is, but you know what?
I know it is. I do
respect it, though, because when you feel like something's working, you got to go with it.
Well, here's what drives me crazy. So when the Patriots went on that winning streak last year that they had, there was a game where I did not wear a sweater because there was a wedding.
Okay.
So I wore a tuxedo.
Oh, no.
All I had were my Patriot cufflinks. That's all I had. To rep the Pats on that day.
You're
but
the reason why.
They had basically won, naked.
They had seriously. And they had won 8 in a row while I wore the same sweater every single Sunday.
So it's your fault.
It felt that way.
Absolutely.
I remember thinking to myself afterwards, like, damn it, I know this doesn't actually have an effect, but I feel like it did.
Absolutely. I think we all do. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about the Astros, plus a coach that we think may be on the hot seat, but... Of course, he's doing a little bit of deflecting. That's next.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get know when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.